Good evening, Facebook and St. Timothy and Straight Gate Ministries, all of my friends and family out there. We love you and we're blessed to be here. We thank God that you are with us today, tuning in on another Bible study. It is a blessing to be here and we thank God for you. God is in the blessing business and we thank him for all that he has done. Been a lot of things going on this week and we want to give praise and glory to God for everything that he is doing. Amen. I want to thank him for all the good blessings that he continues to pour out on us. Amen. I'm Pastor Landis Fisher. I am pastor of Straight Gate Ministries and also St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. And we thank God for your attendance. Amen. And listening to the word with us. We hope to dig into a subject today that will challenge you to think about some things we've been talking about in previous lessons. And so we want to get right into that. We do have some good content for the message today, and we believe that God will bless his word. Amen. As it goes forth. So I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Keep this in mind. When we pray, I'd like you to think about people in your life, folks in your immediate family, people who are your neighbors, think about friends, relatives, even enemies. I want to ask you that because we don't hear a lot of talk about that. That's something we kind of sweep under the rug. But Jesus said, do good to those who persecute you and falsely misuse you for the sake of God. And so I want to have you start to think that way. That's part of what our lesson's about today. Amen. We got to get out of our box. We're in a box and we want to do certain things, and we've got some ways that need to be adjusted, and God's trying to work on that with us. So remember, we've been talking about the flesh and the spirit. So I want to invite you, when you pray, think about some of the people who seem to be a problem to you in your life, and also include them in your prayers. You're going to see some wonderful things happen. God's going to show you some things he's been showing me, and I'm anxious to talk about that. So as you pray, think about those people too, the difficult people, those difficult relationships and things that you have in your life. Amen. Let's go on and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you right now, Father. We give you praise. We lift up our hands, O God, and give you all the honor and the glory. For you are excellent and worthy to be praised. Father, we magnify you right now. And Father, we thank you so much for everything that you do for every one of us. Father, our families are going through changes. We've got all kinds of things going on that we know. You have done with miraculous things. Father, we can just look at how you made everything, and we know that you are awesome, oh God. Nobody awesome but you. And so, Father, we lift up praise and we magnify you today, Lord, because you are excellent and you're worthy to be praised. The heavens are declaring your glory and the firmament is showing your handiwork. And, Father, we just thank you for our salvation. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends, thank you for our relatives. We thank you for our enemies today, oh God. Anybody who might be coming against us or take a stand against us, we pray for them too. Because, Father, we know you care about all men, women, boys, and girls, no matter what their race, their color, their nationality, their ethnic background, whatever it might be that separates and divides men. You care about us all, and that's why you gave your son, Jesus, to die for our sins, that you allowed him to shed his precious blood in order that whosoever will, you say that universal thing. So, Father, help us today to be universal in our minds, to think about other people other than the people that really we care about a lot. Some people we don't care so much for, Lord, but we confess that and we ask you to give us a heavenly mindset, Father, so that we can care about people who don't care about us. Because that's what you did when you came down and you took up a body and you lived in this world for 33 and a half years and you were crucified on the cross, which was the ugliest thing humanity has ever done in the history of time, was to crucify the Holy Son of God. And so, Father, with that in mind, you did that. You were willing to send your son to be that the pinnacle and the focal point of all that evil. So, Father, help us, because what we're going through doesn't even compare. It's not worthy to be compared. Like you said in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Because what Jesus went through was so magnanimous, oh God, and it was so awful. It's the most awful thing ever happened. But at the same time, it's the greatest thing that ever happened, that you allowed him to be sacrificed in order to save wretches like us. And so, Father, we give you glory, we give you praise, we exalt you, we thank you, Father. We ask you to bless people struggling with COVID-19 right now, wherever they are, God. Some in our family, some of our people hurting because we lost family members, Lord God, or friends or associates. So, Father, bless us. Give us a heavenly mindset. Give us your hand today, God, that we can hold on to your mighty hand, your unchanging hand, Lord, and realize you will take us through this. You said in the Psalms, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I should fear no evil, for you are with us. So bless us, God, to know that you are there in goodness and mercy, is following us all the days of our lives, and that we will dwell in your house forever and ever when all of this is done. So, Father, help us to make it through. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And above all, Lord God, we thank you for your Son. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the revelation of your word. Bless somebody listening today with that understanding, Father. There's somebody struggling with a lot of different things out there, Lord. We're all messed up, and we need you so bad, oh God. But we just thank you right now. We open our hearts and our minds, and Father, we ask you to fill us with understanding, and we will give you all the honor and all the praise, all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and thank God and give him your best praise right now. Amen. He is excellent and worthy of your praise. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I want to talk with you on a simple topic today. And those of you who've been with me, you know we've been talking about the flesh and the spirit. We've been talking about that quite a bit. And so today I want to talk a little bit more on the application of some of the things that we have learned. If you haven't been with us and you'd like to go back and pick up those other lessons, they are online at teachingbible.org or here on Facebook. And so we invite you to go back there and see what we've been talking about. But today we're going to get a practical episode on the application of the Spirit in our lives. See, salvation is about God giving you a free gift. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. That's what Titus 3:5 says. And Romans tells us that God loved us and he made a way for us through his Son, Jesus, that there's no condemnation, Romans 8 says, to those who are in Christ Jesus. The good thing about that Romans 8, it applies to you and me, a wretch like me of all people. So it certainly will apply to you, no matter who you are or what you're dealing with. God says there's no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, if we trust in Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead, like it says in Romans 10, you shall be saved. That's a promise. That's the edict of the Most High God. The highest court in the universe, anywhere, has declared you not guilty. If you believe in the Christ, the Messiah, his Son, the Son of the living God. So that's so exciting all by itself. And we could close the book and say hallelujah and start praising him right now. But we want to talk about what does that really mean for me and you. That Almighty God, in all of his omnipotence and glory and power, sent his Son into this wretched world to be misunderstood, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be spoken evil of, to be cast down, and all of that, he did that and allowed him to live a regular old life, like regular old Joe, in this world, see? And he allowed him to be spit on and crucified in order that he could deliver somebody like me. I'm going to use myself. I won't talk about you. You had big issues, big sin issues and stuff. And it's not that I'm out here overtly doing sin. I just look at my whole life. And there is some stuff now still that I have not brought under the scrutiny of God's word. And if anybody's telling you the truth, that's what they'll tell you. I haven't become perfect. See, that's what Paul said when he wrote the Philippians. He said, I'm telling you these things because neither have I become perfect. He says, but I forget those things that are behind. Look at Philippians 3 if you want a text for that. And I look forward unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark. He told Timothy, God had enough mercy to save the chief of sinners. And he called himself the chief of sinners. Now, what we have today, let me go on the record here. And I like to tell you the straight truth. There's a lot of folk won't say, oh, I have problems and I'm struggling with sin and all kinds of different things. Most folk won't go there because they want to act like they're something they aren't. But I want you to know the dirt truth. that all of us have issues. And if we say we have no sin, God says in his word in 1 John, you lie and the truth is not in you. You see that? So there's no need me lying to you trying to convince you I'm so pristine and so righteous. The fact is, the righteousness that you have is acceptable to God. He gives it to you. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. You know, when his disciples were wondering, man, you know, we left everything. We were working and all that. But now you told us, leave and drop our nets and follow you, and you make us become fishers of men. And so, you know, they were wondering, bumming out. Okay, we've been working all our lives, and now you're telling us, follow you, and you will make us become fishers of men. And so it's like, okay, well, how are we going to live here? You see what I mean? Those kind of thoughts started to enter their mind. How are we going to take care of household, and how are we going to take care of family? And Jesus was saying, you know what, if you get it straight with me, seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, then God will add everything else you need to you. That's the truth. You know, and he said, nobody has forsaken home or job or family and followed me. They won't be blessed here and in the life to come, eternal life. See? So he said, get your mind off of the situation of what you're dealing with here. And this is a problem a lot of people have when it comes to getting saved. We think, oh, you know, church is on Sunday and it's the other 6 days of mine. Well, it really doesn't work like that. You know, God wants your heart every day. He wants you to love him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We can go down the whole week and then rest with him and praise him even more on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. That's the day. There's a lot of controversy about that. Not trying to open that can of worms. That is a good subject. But he is worthy of praise every day. He's worthy of praise every second of your life. He wants to be involved in everything you and I are dealing with. But you know what? If we tell the truth now, and y'all know I got to do that, we don't have it all together. There's stuff in here that shouldn't be there. There's ways, I think, that need to go. All we got to do is look at the news for 10 minutes. And we can see the problem with the world is people think somehow that, oh, I'm better than you. And they have an error of some kind of superiority, but yet no one is better than anyone else. And so this is where we want to get down to brass tacks. How do I, being like I am, and I'm just being truthful, some people are not willing to be truthful. They want to spook you or trick you or make you think I'm so holy and all of that. And deep down inside, they have issues. And so we want to talk about what's real. I want to talk about the same kind of stuff you are dealing with and I'm dealing with every day and what the problems are. Now, I told people the only way you can fix what they are calling now, we slap the big label, systemic racism, is to get people saved. They need to be saved. They need to be in Christ. And that's the only way they're going to ever get out of that evil sin. That's one of the most evil sins going on the planet, although every sin is evil in the sight of an almighty, holy God. You know, a lie is enough sin to cast a person into hell. And so we need to realize that unrighteousness is a part of the human fabric. Every human, not just some people, but everybody. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone misses the mark. There's not one, the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. That's the kind of thing the word says. Jeremiah 17, he said that the heart is deceitful in verse 9 and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? See? So people have issues. All of them. Not just this group or that group. But what man tends to do, we get on a pedestal and say, oh, you know, I'm in high intelligence and I've studied and I have a doctorate. And there's nothing wrong with education. I'm not decrying education. Get all the education you can get. You know, but does it make you better than anybody? They may make you be able to get a better job and do some things that you can't do without it. And it's wonderful. And as you pursue that, go ahead. But don't get on a pedestal and think that somehow that makes you greater or better than anybody else. And we went about this when we were talking about some of the other things, how Jesus came to people who were blind. They had physical handicaps. They were deaf. They were dumb, couldn't speak because they couldn't hear. They had been oppressed by the devil. And he just said, believe on me, and they were saved. It had nothing to do with their level of intelligence, had nothing to do with their status in the public or in the community, none of that. So Jesus can save you no matter who you are, no matter what understanding you may have about anything else in the world, just so you believe in him. See? So believing in Christ is what's going to get you saved. It does not require superior intelligence. There's no way you can say, oh, because I'm this way, that way, that. Skin color has nothing to do with that. See? And you know what? People would stop tripping off the skin color and thinking I'm better than you, or, you know, my life matters and yours doesn't, and all the kind of stuff we hear, if we can understand everybody is corrupted to the core. Everybody, from the highest person, you know, down to the very lowest. From the Queen of England to the beggar downtown on the street of St. Louis asking for 50 cents so he can get a sandwich. So everybody is corrupted. All the people, the higher and mightier, the more corrupted tends to be, and a lot of times, and that's the case, not necessarily. But the fact is, your status on earth does not determine your status in heaven. God has one standard. He breaks away all the barriers, and his name is Jesus. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So you can be a king sitting on a throne, or you can be a pauper in a ditch begging for a quarter. And if you trust Christ, you shall be saved. That's the good news. This is what makes the gospel such a dynamic thing, is the fact that it's for everyone. It excludes no one. And whoever believes it will be saved. And Jesus commissioned the church, some everyday regular old folks, to go out and teach all the nations. You see that? After he got out of the grave, having defeated death in the grave, he sent out his disciples after he told them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. See, what does he mean by that? Okay, I defeated death in the grave. You know what? All the doctors with all the explicit science that they have today, and I thank God for that explicit science, let me say. I thank God for research and people who are able to find out stuff because God allows them to do it. And it's a wonderful, so I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I'm trying to pick some people up. I want the folks who don't know any of that and people who don't know anything. You don't have to have any kind of a degree or education necessarily, and that doesn't have anything to do with can you be saved. Salvation had to do with a free gift that Almighty God, the Son, came into the world, gave his life as a ransom for your sins, whoever you are, whosoever. See that? That means you, brothers and sisters, and that means me, a wretch like this, can be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's the best news in the world. So I want you to understand this. No high level of intelligence makes you more susceptible or more acceptable to God. You see what I mean? And no low levels will stop you from being a child of God. God will save you anyway if you believe in his son. And so he wanted that to be that way, so that it doesn't make any difference where you are, what strata of life you're in. Then you can probably begin to see, once you understand that universal invitation that God is giving to whosoever will, that he wants us all to be on equal footing. See, we have a problem with that. That's one of the biggest problems in our culture. And we have people thinking that for some reason, they're better than someone else, even within the so-called church. So this is why I take time like this to break this down, because I want you to understand, beloved, that God loves you just like you are. He gave a son for you, and if you believe in him, you shall not perish. Now, that's great news. That's better than good news. That's great news that a wretch undone that still has issues and things to deal with and straighten out can be saved, okay? So what I want to talk with you about, we've been talking about the flesh and the spirit. Now, the flesh is not just my physical body. The physical body is called the flesh, or that's the container that my spirit and my soul lives in. But it's also the container, if you're saved, that God's Holy Spirit lives in. So he comes in and resides in you when you believe. God gives you the Holy Spirit to complete the good work that he starts in you. And he also starts the work in you. I want to let you know, none of the credit goes to me. That's why Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You see that? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about, because he does it all, and he gets the glory and the praise and the credit. So I want you to understand that. And so, but what happens now? The flesh, it has to do with my mindset. the way I think, the stuff I've been taught, we've talked about this in the previous lesson, but I want to give you some background why we are discussing it today. God transforms you from a citizen of earth who is doomed to eternal destruction to a citizen of heaven when you trust in and believe in Jesus the Christ, his son. And he started with the Jews because that was the people he separated out to be a people for his own possession. And why did he do that? He did that so that he could have a people who weren't going to go bad or totally corrupt like all the world had already done before he called the Jews out. The whole world went sour, you could say. Read Genesis 6. It says that every thought of the imagination of men's hearts were only evil continually. And it grieved the Lord that he had made man upon the earth because man was that bad. Now, that's about how it is again now today. But God said Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and he preserved Noah and his descendants and brought them through the great flood and destroyed all the people on the earth up until that time. And he was sanctifying when he was doing that. He was bringing out just 8 because the rest of the people had 120 years to get it together while Noah was building the ark, and none of them actually committed themselves to God. So this is why we take time to preach the gospel, because we want you to know right now the same kind of message is going forth. There is an impending judgment going to fall upon the earth, and if you're not saved, you will miss it. And we don't want you to miss it. We want you to know God loves you. He's given his son for you. And if you miss it, you're going to receive the judgment and the wrath of a holy God. And that would be pitiful because you've had your whole lifetime to accept his grace and his free gift that he's given. He's given his son. So you and I, think about this now, are believers. If you trust Christ and you believe God raised him from the dead, and let me take a minute and stop there, put a pin there. Resurrection from the dead is how we know Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Because all that had to be done to stop the preaching of the gospel was produce that dead body, and that did not happen. You know why it didn't happen? Because he got up out of the grave, declaring all power is given to me, and that takes me full circle back to Matthew 28:18. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and then he told them, go on out and teach this to every nation. So if we have a simple proclamation, and it is to every nation, every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people, there's one way you can be saved, and that is by faith in God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, after we get into that relationship, God, the Holy Spirit, moves right into this wretch, comes right on in. He's a part of my being, my way of thinking. He opens your mind and your eyes so you can see his word. His word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. He will teach you how to walk by faith. That means trusting what God has said versus anything else. See? And that's why I have this on my Facebook page. Some of you know already. You see it says, are you politically correct or are you biblically correct? And the fact is, we need to be biblically correct. And if we are, many times we're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't look at the world, what's going on, what's being done, who said this, who did that, who seems to have an appearance of righteousness, or who has an appearance of intelligence, or all of that. Some of that may have something to do with being politically correct, but it has nothing to do with being biblically correct. See, biblical correctness is understanding God's word, what he said, rightly divided. In other words, there is a right way to understand this. Now, let me illustrate that before we talk about this. What my subject for this message is, I want you to live a different way than you've been living. This is what's been in my heart also. We need to be being understanding. You and I. Being understanding. Okay? Now, that sounds simple. 2 words. Being understanding. Being just means existing. Like right now, we are being. We are here. That's why we're called human beings. Because we are being right now. You see what I mean? That sounds a little crazy, but stay with me and you're going to get this. Being understanding means I am living my life in an understanding way. Understanding what? Understanding the truth that God has given and realizing that his truth endures forever. It endures forever and ever. And it's going to be countercultural in so many cases when I begin to look at what God said and understand what God said. See? And I'm going to have to understand it by faith. Now realize this. The scripture says faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, even if I don't see it, if God said it, if it's a precept in his word, I can trust in it. And I take it to heart. See? And I'm going to believe it over anything else, or no matter what I see going on in the world, no matter who is persuading folks in the world, or whatever, however popular they may be or unpopular they may be, has nothing to do with anything. Let me give you an illustration. I'm going to put a pin here. What happened when Jesus first came into the world? Our calendar tells us that was 2020 years ago when he was born there and about. So at that time, God revealed himself in the flesh. Now, you know what Jesus could have did? Since he was God, he could have said, you know, Solomon's temple was the most spectacular thing there's ever been. Let me make one 25 times or 100 times more spectacular than he did, and then they can come up to my palace, and it'll blow their minds. But, you know, Jesus didn't do that. You know what? He was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. He took an exodus down into Egypt, and he was a lowly carpenter's son the whole time he was here. So you think, boy, you know, if you're God, you could have a big old shrine. And we got shrines right now, supposedly, around. They call it a shrine, you know. And don't let me get on that soapbox. Let me stay off of there. But Jesus came, and he was in a humble way. He came as a person, and people looked at him and said, you know, you say you're the son of God. How can I believe that? And you're Mary and Joseph's boy from down the street. Some of the rabbis said in Nazareth. They couldn't get it. They were offended because he proclaimed himself to be the son of God. So I want you to understand something. This is why you and I need to be being understanding. We have to look at what God did, look at how he did it, and the reason why people were so perplexed at the fact and the way that he came. They did not understand. They didn't understand who he was. Why would you say that? This doesn't seem to me like what God would do. That's the problem. It didn't seem to them like what God would do. But you know what? It was exactly what God said he would do. It was written in the Word. And so our understanding has to come from what the Word says, rightly divided. See? And you know what? The people who believed him, there were people who were waiting on the consolation of Israel, like in the book of Luke. There was a man named Simeon. He was an old man. And he said, Lord, don't let me die until I see your Christ, because he can understand in the Word and in the Spirit that he's coming, and I want to see him. See, God allowed Simeon to see his son come into the temple. And then Simeon said, well, let me go on now. I can go on and get out of here, in so many words, I'm paraphrasing, because I have seen your salvation. See, so by faith, people who lock in on what God says, by faith and not by what they see, you know, you could look around and see how things were going with the so-called intelligentsia and the so-called religious people and all of them. They were the ones who spearheaded getting Jesus crucified. And God already knew that that would happen. So he'd already written it down. It was under their nose all their life. They studied it all the time from the prophets and all of that. And he came, and you know what they did? Exactly what he said they were going to do. They crucified him. So he knew it. So God knew everything they would do. He wrote it in the book that they called themselves to be masters of. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots. Notice I named a bunch of groups, denominations they were, of Jews. Yet you miss the fact that it's already in your word, in the law, and the prophets, exactly what you're going to do and crucify my son. God knew it. So that's the kind of blindness that was going on at the time Jesus first came. This blindness continues today. So you and I have to get past the smokescreen of human blindness and get into the truth of God's word. And we have to allow the word and the spirit of God to minister up to us so that we can see the things that are clearly given to us by God. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Let's take a look at a text here. I'm going to take you over to the New Testament for starters. And let's go into 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bible handy, or some of y'all have it on your phone or your tablet or your laptop. You have it different spots. But go to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, not 2nd. Actually, go to 1 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, some people like to say, which I do because there's actually more than two letters to the Corinthians, but we won't take that subject up today. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you'll find these words. from the Apostle Paul. He says here in verse 1, "And I, brethren," this is Paul to the church at Corinth, "when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see that? He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." In other words, all the wisdom of the people of this world equals zero, because it leaves out the truth of God. See, so that's what worldly wisdom gets you, is a fat goose egg, zero. It's of no value with respect to salvation. This is why we must be biblically correct, not politically correct. Political says, they have all kinds of stipulations, but God says, "I wrote the book, and I need you to be biblically correct. I need you to go with what I said, not with what the world says, not what the flesh says, certainly not what the devil says." The devil is really slick. He's a liar and a murderer, and he wants you to believe all kinds of stuff. He wants you to be so confused you don't know what to believe. But God says, "I've given you my word, and I did not come to impress anybody with oratory," Paul is saying here. He says, "Howbeit," verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2:6, "howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." That word mystery is mysterion in the Greek. You don't have to look it up or write it down for the test. What it means is something that is spiritually revealed. It's something that's secret, kind of. It's cloaked in, and only the people who believe God will see it. Only the folks whose eyes are open to God and the Holy Spirit of God will see and understand it. People who don't believe God will not see it, and they will not understand it. And that's why Jesus preached and taught in parables. A parable will reveal truth to a believer, and at the same time, it will conceal truth from people who don't believe. So it has to do with, do you believe God? If you believe God, then he reveals truth to you from his word, and he may blind the person who does not believe him, and they do not see it. See? So the truth of it is, the Holy Spirit opens up the word to you and I who are believers. We're open professors of belief in Christ. So God has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to lead us and guide us to all truth. So something that God says will be open to a person who believes. So this is why I spend my time, a lot of time, let me say, persuading people to believe the gospel. Because without faith in the gospel, you are blind to the truth, and only to those who believe God, it will be accounted to you for righteousness, wisdom, and all of that, and it will impart and deal faith. So what happened? These people, they received, and even Paul, the writer of this, he was in the situation of being spiritually blind himself because he didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. You see that? So we cannot miss this. You and I don't want you to miss this. I want you to understand that there will be, you're coming in our time, could be anytime soon, there will be a false Christ who will come. And he will arrive, Jesus said, or arise and deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, he says in Matthew 24. The love of many shall wax cold. People will become cold and heartless because they will grow colder and colder, and this false Messiah will arise and mislead many. So people who are saved won't be misled, because you'll be in the Word. The mystery of all these things will be revealed to you by faith. You don't have to be a mathematician or a scientist. You have to just be a believer. Believe God, and you will know that his Word is true. His Spirit will minister to your spirit that you are a child of God. And you will understand things that go right over the heads of people who think it's all about intelligence or higher knowledge. We got all these different things. There was a whole group of people called Gnostics. We don't even want to talk much about them in the period we have here. But I want you to understand, God is for you. And if God is for you, Paul goes on to tell in the Romans, then who can be against you? And the answer is no one. So I want you to trust Christ, believe in him with all your heart, and believe that God raised him from the dead. He is the only person who has the keys to death and hell. He has the solution to the problem of death. No one else does. And so you have every reason to believe him, no matter what you see or hear from a lot of people who say they're so-called smart people. Okay, and I'm not decrying, as I said, intelligence. I think it's a great thing to learn, study, do all that. But, you know, God's people were always learned and well-studied, many of them. People like Daniel, and he had a very, very good head on his shoulders. People like Nehemiah, people like Joseph, we can name people after people, or person after person, I guess I should say. And many of them were very knowledgeable people. Joseph of Arimathea, all kinds of people that were deeply steeped in knowledge. Even the Apostle Paul, he knew the Bible, but he didn't know the Savior. He did not know God. He had no functional relationship in God where he could actually see that Christ was coming right at the time he promised. See? So this is the knowledge that you and I get, and you and I, therefore, since we are stewards of that knowledge of God, of the mysteries of God, we need to be more understanding. Now, you know, I understand the folks who don't believe are blinded. So I have to know that up front. Now, I'm not going to put myself on a pedestal because God has opened my eyes and he didn't open yours. Because my purpose is, if I know something, I need to share it with you to help get you on the right track. So I want to give that away, even to people I don't get along with so well. They may be against me because of a particular thing. They may be against you. You may have some enemies, as they call, as you might call them. But Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully misuse you. See what I'm saying? So he's trying to get us to live in this life being understanding. See? And that's why I wanted just to give you those two words to meditate on throughout this week. Being understanding. So you and I who know, it's enjoined upon us to understand the people who don't know. So why? Because we have an attachment to God and we have an open revelation from God because he's given us superior wisdom to understand his word. It's not that I'm better than anybody. It's that my eyes have been opened and I can see the truth. And that's why you see Paul now. Here he is. What is he doing? He's writing a group of Corinthians. These are people he, before he got saved, he would have hated them. Boy, look at those awful people. Look at the way they're living. Look at the stuff they're doing. Jews don't do that. We're better than them. And they had an elevated a view of themselves because of their own moral standards. But the fact is, nobody's moral standards were good enough to commend them to God without the death of Jesus. See? And so that's the part where we have to learn how to live being understanding. We need to understand that people who don't know these things don't know these things. So you should expect them not to behave the way you might in a circumstance. So if somebody's racially prejudiced or whatever the problem may be, or has some reason why they think they're better than you and I'm uppity and you're down here somewhere and I'm up here, whatever it is, those kind of issues, you and I who have the understanding of the truth have to learn to live being understanding. So it's called upon us to live being understanding because people who don't understand don't know. Somebody put it this way. This is a kind of an expression that may help us to understand it. The brainwashed do not know they are brainwashed. Otherwise, they wouldn't be brainwashed. And that's the truth. So stay in the Word. Allow God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to feed you, give you knowledge, give you understanding, and you will continue to grow. Now, there's some things I want to share with you here. Realize that as Paul wrote those Corinthians, he has changed way 180 degrees. He now loves people he would have hated before he got saved, like he was doing, and he was destroying people in the church, and he hated the church, he hated the Messiah, who said he was the Messiah, didn't believe he was, because he wouldn't have hated him if he knew who he was. But, and when he found out who he was on the Damascus Road, he stopped hating him, and he started to love him, and love the other people who he hated before, see? So God can turn that thing around, and you and I who know him, believe him, we have to understand that. If people are doing that, it's because they don't know him. See, I don't care what they say. I don't care if they say, oh, I'm evangelical or I'm whoever I am. That's beside the point. If you hate somebody, John says, you are a murderer. That's what he said. Literally says that in 1 John, that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. So what I'm calling on us who believe to do is to live our lives being understanding. We have to understand things. Why are people blind? Because they don't know Jesus. So what do they do? They do what blind people do who don't know Jesus. They are hateful, and sometimes, and like Paul says in to Titus, He said that at one time, before we were saved, we were hateful and hating one another. See, read what the text says. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he writes in Titus 3, he said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what God did to transform me, so I'm not hating and being hateful and hating somebody. So we got to understand that. And you and I have to learn how to live being understanding when people don't embrace the truth. And they don't because they don't believe. That's the whole problem. So I want to talk with you, first of all, about rising to the challenge. It is a challenge for you to be in this world and realize people who hate each other are not saved. Because if you're saved, you know God has sees everybody equally, and you see it the way he sees it. So I'm not going to hate you because you don't understand. Just like Paul, people avoided him and tried to get out of his way because he had shown that I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to break you up and bust your teeth and your lips and lock you up and throw you away. He had all kinds of negative ways that he treated people. So the church said, yeah, we better stay away from him, you know. And so you got to use wisdom. I'm not saying you go get in somebody's face and they'll bust you in the chops. I'm not trying to say that. But we need to be being understanding. We got to understand there are people who hate the truth because they don't know it. There are people who are not walking in the truth because they don't know it. There are people who do not. They say they know it, like the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, we're righteous. We're holy. We're religious. But you crucified God's Son. So you don't know it. And you don't understand it. And you are blind to the truth of what God is doing. That's what we have to do. We have to live being understanding. The early church did this all the time because they were in a countercultural situation where what we're teaching is countercultural. Everybody else thinks all these rituals, sacrifices, all that stuff is making you right with God. And the truth is, no, it's not. Hebrews 10, verse 4 says that God has never been satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, ever. See that? The blood of bulls and goats couldn't satisfy him. And in our message about the blood of Jesus, the expressions of the blood of Jesus, we talked about that. How all those sacrifices had been going on all the way from the garden. And God was the first one who did a sacrifice. But it didn't satisfy him. The only one ever did was when his own son was crucified on the cross. And he knew that the blindness of so-called religious people would take them to the place where they would take him, his own son, who was God the Son, and nail him to a cross. And he predicted it perfectly, wrote it down in the law and the prophets, in the Psalms, in the holy writings. And you know what they did? Exactly what God said they would do. And he knew it already. So it was no surprise to God that they would crucify Jesus. Now, I say that to say that we live in a time when the Antichrist, who is already written in the scripture, God has finished. There hasn't been anything added to Holy Writ since 90 A.D., so from then till today, no more additions. And God has essentially written down that there will be another generation who will receive a false Messiah because they are spiritually blind. So you and I need to be being understanding. We got to understand the times that we live in. We have to understand politically correct is not biblically correct. And we need to be in the Word and understand the truth. In order that we might, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, so freedom, true freedom comes from a knowledge of the truth being released in your mind and your spirit and your actions and the way you think. And it will be countercultural to how you and I naturally think. See, because it's not natural for me to say I'm going to love my enemy and pray for the ones who despitefully misuse me. See? It's anyway, what comes in our spirit is the kind of stuff we see going on in the world. I'm going to get you. So how do we make movies about that kind of stuff? Because that's the way we would be naturally if God had not intervened. If it were but not for the grace of God, where would I be? People have said. And if the thing is, we would be just as bad and awful as the people who don't trust Christ now who need to be saved. So we're dealing with them, and that's where we are in the culture. So we got to understand that. We rise to the biblical challenge. We need to be simplistic in our delivery of the gospel. In other words, the gospel is for all those people, even though they don't believe it. But it's our duty and our privilege to be the steward of the gospel, to go out and tell it to everyone, whether they believe me or not, whether they hear me or forbear, as the scripture says. I'm going to tell you that God loves you. And you know what? Somebody had to straighten out Saul of Tarsus, who is known as the Apostle Paul, and tell him know, you're going down there to bust up people because you don't agree with them. But God loves you, Saul. He said, why are you? He fell from his beast when Jesus revealed himself in the book of Acts. You can read it in chapter 9. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Saul on the Damascus dust, who is known to be the Apostle Paul later on. Who art thou, Lord? He knew this is the Lord. But God himself revealed to Saul of Tarsus that this is the Lord. And I'm here for you. My brilliance has knocked you down. And now you know that I am the Lord. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, you don't really get this, and you've been fighting against me, but I've separated you from your mother's womb to carry my gospel, my good news about my son, death, burial, resurrection, to the Gentiles. Paul didn't know that. He didn't know he had been separated from his mother's womb for the purpose of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And so on the Damascus Road, in the dust, blinded by the brilliance of Jesus, he comes to understand that that's the reason why you were born. And he said, well, Lord, what will you have me to do? Now he turns around 180 degrees. I was going to bust up your church and take it out of service and kill anybody or lock them up and take them back to Rome. I got authority from the Gentiles to do this. And that's what he was planning to do. But God said, well, you know what you do, Saul? You go on down there to a street called Straight. There's a man down there named Ananias who was in the church. And he'll tell you what you ought to do. So God turns over this rabbi, this man of God who knew the Bible like the back of his hand, who didn't understand a word of what it meant, think about that, and send him down to his church. The church are the everyday fishermen, the regular common folks who weren't the intelligentsia or the highest religious folks in town. But go down there and tell them, he'll tell you what you need to do. You know what? God didn't even tell him. You go to my church. That lets you see that the church is the group of people who trust God's word, believe the gospel, and spread the gospel to people who don't even like us, or people who do not understand, blind people who don't know Jesus. So you and I have to learn how to live being understanding so that we can rise to the challenge of representing God correctly. And unlike people who think it's all about intelligence, all about riches, all about worldly stuff, has nothing to do with any of that. See? Those things in and of themselves are not bad, but they don't replace the simplicity of the message of the gospel. And that is for all people, every man, woman, boy, and girl, it needs to be saved. All of us need Jesus. God has given him for you. If you believe him, he will take up residence in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. So we need to be also related and faithful in the word. Stay in the word. The word of God is the complete revelation of God. There's no more to be added to it. And there's nothing to be subtracted from it. Jesus said, do not add or subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy, Revelation 22:18. Because if you add to it, I'm going to add the plagues that are in this book. And maybe that's what we're getting here now, because we live in a culture that doesn't honor God's word at all. You know, they kick the word to the curb, especially in American culture. About 50, 60 years ago, we said, yeah, we don't need the word anymore. And it used to be the number one subject in the schools. Now we want to know, why are we going through the kind of stuff we're going through? You threw God out. You threw his word out. You told him, we don't need you. We don't want you anymore. Take the Ten Commandments down. We don't want that. Just let us cut loose. And that's where we're at right now. So you and I need to be being understanding, because we can see the aftermath of 50 or 60 years of unleashing people and cutting the cords from the word of God, which is exactly what it says in so many places. I don't have time to get into it today, but I wanted to talk with you about the same thing I'm meditating on, is how do you live being understanding? You and I have to learn how to exist in an understanding way. So this is what I want to say. The next thing, everything God said and nothing that man said. That's where you got to get. You got to understand that God has given us complete revelation of everything we need for time and eternity. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. You got a whole lot of people. The devil, one of his biggest avenues of confusion, people, is that I want to tell you, you don't have everything you need. That's the same thing he told Eve. Or you know what? God's holding out on you. He only gave them one thing not to do. And everything else he said, do. Go in there and enjoy everything I made. I made all these trees bearing fruit, and I've given you authority over it all, dominion we call it. And just one tree I'm separating for me, and leave that one alone. Don't eat of it. See? And you know what? The devil took him right to the one that he said don't do. That's how he works. So he wants to take you and me right to the thing we don't need to do and say, oh, you know, God's holding out on you over here. You need to do this. Even though God said don't do it. So you and I have to learn that simplistic thing that the devil has brought up on us. He continues to try to do it. You know what the truth is? No matter what you're struggling with, if you trust Christ, you have been forgiven. You have authority over that thing. You have power over that thing. And God is going to deliver you from it, whatever it is. But you need to have the faith to believe it and know that I trust what God says in his word over anything else. And that's where we got to get. And that's why I told you we got to live being understanding. Being understanding. Understand these things and know what the will of God is. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way even to the end of the world. You know why? Because I need training. I need to understand more stuff than I understand. Because I need to find out the solutions, the knowledge of the witty things, like it says in the Proverbs, that God says, and he will reveal them to you. But you know the good news is I accept you just like you are. Whatever you're dealing with, I accept you. I love you. And I will teach you how to do better. Listen to this. Psalms 119:104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. See that? Anything that tries to pull me another way than what God says, that's where you need to say, I hate that. I'm not going to have that. Put that on your hate list, not people, but every false way. Anything that's going to draw me another way other than through God's precepts. See that? So put treasure his word. Put it at the height, the top of your list. Now here's another one, Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. See that? God says, get wisdom, get understanding. Now what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge to the glory of God. Now it's false wisdom. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not going to last. You know, it's not going to persevere and take you on through. It's not going to be beneficial to you unless it actually glorifies God. So real wisdom has to be measured by the fact that God is glorified by true wisdom. So this is why you and I need to learn how to be being understanding. We have learned how to live our life understanding God's way and his word. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all of thy getting, get understanding. See? God wants us to be being understanding. So we got to be understanding. We get that how? By acquiring the wisdom of God from his word. Realize this. He is the only one who can impart wisdom to me and you. Wisdom does not come from seminars. It doesn't come from colleges. It doesn't come from anywhere but from Almighty God. The true wisdom that will persevere when heaven and earth have passed away. And that's why God said this. He said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away, Mark 13:31. So we want to hold on to God's unchanging hand, realize his word is there. We are students of God. That's what a disciple is. We're learners. We're learning from God. We're not perfect. We have not arrived. We've been declared perfect. God has said that you are perfect. Why? Because of Jesus. His perfection is the perfection that covers me and you, and that's the gift of grace from God. It's not by works that we did. That's why we have nothing to boast about, as it says in Ephesians 2:9. So understand this. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. See that? Silver and gold doesn't compare to the wisdom of Almighty God. So you and I have to look at the whole situation, everything we're dealing with in life. Realize God has made a way. His only way is through his son. Don't let anybody else interfere with that understanding. See, stay connected. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah says. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, I got wisdom way off the chart, way beyond. So I was looking at this the other day. My time's almost gone. But I want you to understand this. I was just noticing people think they're so smart now these days. Yeah, we just looked and we discovered there's 50 more planets. Well, you know where there's probably 50 million that you can't even see. So what makes you think you're so smart all of a sudden because you can see 50 more? Wow, whoopee-doo. I'm not impressed. God said there's probably 50 million out there. And you know what? People will eventually wake up and understand that. Yeah, you can see a little more. You got a little more knowledge. But the Most High God knows all things. And he's given his own son to make it easy for me and you. So we don't have to go there. You ever feel inferior when you hear somebody talking about some impressive knowledge or some impressive wisdom? Don't ever do that. Just understand, I got what I need. See, God has supplied all my needs. That's what he said, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so I want you to understand the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, it will discern the matter. And that only the blood of Jesus can save me and you. And God has granted me and you to have salvation free. So we can know that it is a gift from him and that we won't boast. All right, our time ran out. That went quicker than I even expected. But I hope you got some nuggets of wisdom out of it. And I hope that God is going to take it a little further into your life and into your prayer life. Remember this. Talk to God about everything. Don't worry about anything. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he said, I will direct your path. I'll make your path straight. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. God will show you what you need to do even in this season. This is a Job season for most of us. We're going through here. 2020 has been like, woo! It's a Job season we're going through. And it could be way worse, but we thank God it's not. So God bless you. We love you. We thank God for you. And we hope that you will meditate this week on being understanding. And realize this as I close. The reason you and I can live being understanding is that God is an understanding being. And he understands how we are. He understands our frame, it says in Psalm 102, for he knows that we are but dust. He understands that. And so God loves you. I love you. Have a blessed evening. Hope you got some good